Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. Another hour of Fantasy Sports Talk coming for you. If you're watching us live, cool. If you're not, go back and check us our show on demand, which could be doing right now too. Hit the rewind button. You'll hear Davis and I go over the Boston Red Sox win total for 2021. Every day here on the show, we go over one season win total, give you an opinion on that, over, under, and which way we're leaning as we're about a little bit over a month away from the season starting here in 2021. And Davis, coaching change in the NBA sort of leads off our show today. What did you make when you heard the news of the Timberwolves firing Saunders as their head coach?
Well, I thought that it was really bizarre because I do not remember the last time that an NBA team fired its coach in the middle of the season, and then instead of appointing an interim head coach, you know, an assistant coach, a longtime guy within the organization, they brought in someone, which means that they kind of already had someone lined up and ready to go for this job. And I don't know if this solves the problems that the Timberwolves are having. I mean, seems like their biggest problem is going to be front office, because they decided not to take LaMelo Ball with the number one overall pick, because I guess they already had a point guard. They'd already given Malik Beasley a contract, but that, I mean, it didn't stop Charlotte, who has nothing but guards, you know, and they made the right selection. They took LaMelo Ball, and he is performing fantastically. And I don't want to throw dirt on Anthony Edwards or anything so far, but I do think that the Timberwolves' problems are probably higher up than just the head coach. You know, that the head coach takes a lot of the brunt of the responsibility of poor performance, but I don't know if that's where I would lay the blame.
All right, let's take a look at our headlines as we start off the show here in the second hour. We got Portland Phoenix tonight headlining a six-game slate for you, where Phoenix is 6.5-point favorites, 8-1 over the last nine games. Celtics' Marcus Smart out through the All-Star break. They lost yesterday to the Pelicans, so things not going great in the last 24 hours for them. Syracuse-Duke tonight in the ACC, one of the bigger games, of course, on the board. 17th-ranked USC hosts Oregon tonight in the Pac-12. And then this is really an interesting note, because not one that I anticipated bringing up at all in 2021. But San Francisco Giants signed starting pitcher Aaron Sanchez to a one-year deal. Davis, this Aaron Sanchez used to be a pretty big sleeper in fantasy, was when he was with the Toronto Blue Jays. But year after year, this guy just could not stay healthy. And then the GM yesterday, Farhan Zaidi, said that this guy's throwing 97 in camp. Well, I got to tell you, that's a really good sign, and it makes me pique my interest, Davis. But I have news for you. There's 29 other teams that passed on Aaron Sanchez as of February 20th, 2021. So part of me is excited, but there's another part of me that's still a little skeptical, because, again, when these pitchers throw and they throw in these showcases for other teams, everybody is there. It took a while for this to get done.
Yeah, so this one does seem bizarre to me, because I like fantasy baseball. I play a lot of DFS baseball and stuff. So the idea of him being a sleeper, it really does come from that 2016 season where he had 192 innings of a 3-flat ERA, but he's never been a big strikeout guy. And per nine innings in his career, 7.5 strikeouts and 4 walks per nine. I mean, you cannot walk guys the way baseball works today. If you are a high walk pitcher, you are just going to get crushed, because everyone's trying to hit home runs. So if you just are giving guys free passes every other inning, you know, like you're not going to be able to stick on the mound. So I got to say, and maybe playing in that ballpark with that cavernous outfield and those far fences, maybe that helps him a little bit. But I think I side with you here. If all these other teams passed, I don't necessarily know if we're going to see Aaron Sanchez, you know, catch the magic this year for the Giants.
Yeah, a few years ago in spring training, I remember when Charlie Morton's velo had that uptick to 98. But remember, Houston paid him. You know, it wasn't like they didn't pay him and he was a non-roster invitee or anything like that or on a one-year deal. So, yeah, I mean, there's a – look, it could end up working out, and who knows, maybe Sanchez had a lot of other decent one-year offers, but it is so late in the game. Remember, pitchers reported last week, and Davis, it's still kind of crazy that there are still some guys out there. Like, I mean, it's not what it was a month ago, but Jake Odorizzi, who I certainly think could be a 3 or a 4 on a real team and in fantasy maybe a 5, and then our buddy Yasiel Puig for, it feels like, the 4th year in a row or something like that. Like, just can't make a decision on what he wants to do. Last year we were sitting here hearing about all these offers that Yasiel Puig had. He took none and then signed a one-year deal with the Braves and then got COVID and then didn't play. And here we are with all the position players in camp and Puig is still not on a team. I feel like his name is fun, but I don't know that the player is anymore, sad to say.
I liked Yasiel Puig for the Dodgers. I liked him quite a bit, a guy that I really liked in daily fantasy. And I mean, he just has that skill set of guys that you like. He hits home runs, he steals bases, he makes some cool plays in the outfield every once in a while. And I know, you know, he's been criticized many times for, you know, bad attitude and just all of that stuff. So, like, I get all of those comments and criticisms, but I think he's a fun player. I wish that he was on a team. It seems like he is not going to be in 2021. So, you know, what can you do? But I do have fond memories of Yasiel Puig with the Dodgers from, you know, 2016, 2017, yeah, for sure.
He was very good with them, Davis. There's no doubt. But I think that this is like his choice to not play. Like, I think I'm just going to guess that he doesn't like any of the contracts. I mean, Miami offered him a lot of money last year, Davis, and he just wasn't interested. You know, and this year he's going to have to play on a very short 1 year deal, maybe for $1 million or $2 million. But I mean, he's still not signing with anybody. So just a really weird situation 2 years in a row for him. And you're right, it's fun when he's on the field, but it's been years. All right. Coming up next, we'll talk a little catching and the Giants. Don't go away.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. In case you missed it earlier in the show, we told you Ian Desmond of the Colorado Rockies has opted out of the 2021 season. There were a few players that opted out in 2020. One of them, of course, was David Price, and another one was Buster Posey, the catcher of the San Francisco Giants. Some feel is a potential Hall of Famer. That opened up the door for their rookie catcher, Joey Bart, to get some playing time. in the truncated 60-game season. We'll go through what he did exactly, but Bart, on a call yesterday, talked about seeing Buster Posey back with the Giants in 2021 and being in camp with him.
It's great. I guess maybe it's good to see him back. You know, we miss him, so it's great to have him. And he's just got so much knowledge. It's just, you know, the things he says, it's never for waste. You know, it's always great stuff, great advice to me and Gino and Patty and you know, everyone that's there dialed in camp. You know, everyone kind of listens in when Buster starts talking.
And that is the case
and
this
next
year.
Question from Mark.
It looks like this year Posey will be the starter and potentially Bart could be headed to the minor leagues. Let's take a look at the numbers for Joey Bart from 2020. And Davis, it was really not a great debut for him. And I remember last year with him being interviewed a couple of times and saying, look, like, I'm just so focused on the pitchers. I can't even worry about the offense right now. I know that most people in fantasy want Joey Bart for the offense, but he was forced to catch all of those pitchers last year, found out very late he was going to be the starter. So I'm not going to hold this against him, especially in a dynasty league. But when you look at Buster Posey's numbers, Davis, they have certainly declined through the years. And he's probably, I would say, toward the end of his career. But as far as catchers are concerned, his NFBC ADP is 252 right now. So what did you make of the debut last year for Bart, Davis? It was pretty offensively weak, to say the least. No home runs. 7 runs driven in, and for all intents and purposes, it looks like Bart's going to start off in AAA in 2021, but there is no doubt that he is the catcher of the future for the Giants.
I hate, this is like my, I hate when MLB teams do this. He's already been up, just let the guy come up and play. You can give Posey days off, you can play Posey at first base. Like, just let Joey Bart come up and take his licks. The Giants are not going to win this division this year. I mean, maybe they play way over their heads and sneak into like a, you know, the very last wild card spot or something like that. But I wish that they would just let Bart come up and try and figure it out, because especially because catchers is a slow developing position, and right. He just needs to see live ammunition. He needs to be catching major league pitchers. He needs to get the experience calling the games with pitchers who are trying to win games, and that's the number one focus. He needs to be seeing major league fastballs and learning the off-speed stuff. Like, he's the number one prospect. Just bring the guy up, let him hit, let him play. It's just so frustrating to me about baseball. Like, imagine if LaMelo Ball was playing in the G League right now because they needed to let him, you know, work on his 3-point shooting or whatever. It would be so frustrating.
Yeah, I guess they want to see him play every day, and then he wouldn't with Buster Posey. But look, it's at this stage, Posey's career is winding down. I think that he'd be the first to admit that. And you know, MVP, World Series champion, he'll get some serious consideration for the Hall of Fame. And that's probably the problem there. And by the way, Davis, this happened with Yadier Molina and Carson Kelly, who we're going to talk about here in a minute. Carson Kelly's waiting for his chance in St. Louis. Didn't happen. Traded him to Arizona. Now the Cardinals have another catcher, Adam Knizer. He's not getting a chance to play. Waiting for Yadier Molina to retire. Not all that different with Buster Posey. But I would say 2022 Joey Bart is behind the plate and playing every single day. Maybe Posey's playing first base or they'll have to sort that out. Let's look real quick at the average draft position, throw Posey's name in there with a few other catchers. Now, there's a lot of strategy that goes into catchers in fantasy if you're playing in leagues that have two catchers versus one. And, you know, having two is just a nightmare in baseball. I hate those leagues. I think one is plenty. You cannot even find 15 good catchers in baseball. But here's the bottom line. Davis, we got Jorge Alfaro coming off a really disappointing year at 250. Posey didn't play at all at 252. Carson Kelly had that mini breakout, I would say. And then there's the stability. Knowing with Yadier Molina, if you're playing in a one-catcher league, you know Yadi's going to hit about 270, 280 with a 330 on base. He's not going to crush you. But there's no upside, right? Like, there's just no upside there. So you know exactly what you're getting. Given these four similar spots here, separated by about 25 players in ADP, it's about a round or two. Any that you like more than others?
Yeah, it's got to be Posey, because listen to the plate appearances, right? Over the last 5 years, 623, 614, 568, 448 in 105 games, 445 in 114. The fact that he has transitioned into playing first base later on in his career, and that he can play catcher, and that we don't know, but we think there, at least some GMs still think there might be a National League DH. I think you are locked in to 500 plate appearances for Posey with upside for 600. Now, his isolated slugging has absolutely fallen in a tank the last 2 years, 111 in 2019, 0.98 in 2018, only 12 home runs the last 2 years. But, you know, again, I'd like to think that he could still hit 20 home runs. But for me, it really just is those plate appearances. And you know you're going to get a decent batting average from him, if not a strong batting average from him. So I think plate appearances and potential rebound and isolated slugging definitely lean me towards Posey here.
Yeah, I probably would go some upside and take Carson Kelly. You know, I liked what I saw from him in 2019. I still think there's some room for growth with him. Ballpark plays pretty well. Decent lineup. Yeah, plays against a tough division. That is definitely for sure there. But Kelly would be, I think, the one guy for me that I would take a shot there. And as far as Alfaro in Miami, and I know he's ahead of all of these guys, but this is his last chance to – I mean, it's hard to say it's his last chance when he's only been in the league for 4 years. But Davis, in the postseason, the Marlins benched him and played Chad Wallach. And Chad Wallach is a strictly defensive catcher. Miami tried to upgrade this position in the offseason. I think Alfaro is going to be their starter, but this is one of those, like, leash situations here that dude hitting 210 with two bombs in May, and someone else is going to be catching for them. And it won't matter if they're getting any offense, because if he's not doing it, he's not a great defensive catcher. So I'd be out on Alfaro. Okay on Posey for me, but Kelly would be the guy amongst the four.
Yeah, I don't hate the Kelly call at all. Alfaro is always kind of interesting to me, because you love to get those five stolen bases from your catcher, especially, you know, if you don't take Alberto Mondesi or, you know, Trey Turner or someone like that, who is just going to load you up on steals. Having a guy there who adds a little bit at catcher is kind of nice. I guess the other thing, though, is that Alfaro's not going to hit for like a great average. So he's like an offense first catcher. But I think the point you make there is very well taken, which is they could just choose to bench him for someone defensively if his bat is not, you know, particularly live. If he's hitting 240 with a 112 isolated slugging and striking out a bunch and playing bad defense, you know, what is their incentive to keep playing him? It's probably not really there. Kelly offers a similar amount of upside, but probably a lower chance of getting, you know, outright bench. So I think I am probably with you on this one.
Yeah, Kelly, 2019, 350 on base, 18 home runs in 365 plate appearances. He dipped last year for sure, but he's one of those guys where in 39 games versus 100, do we really know what would have happened over the course of the season? So amongst those four, that would probably be the one that I would choose. And that's not saying much in terms of catcher. I was never a guy that took catching early, and then I've been taking Real Muto at the top like every year. So we'll see if he's back healthy too. Should be talking about him as well. All right. Plenty to come here on the show on Fantasy Sports Today. And I want to make sure that you guys stay tuned, because coming up next, we talked about one Hall of Famer, maybe a potential Hall of Famer. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds. It was not all that long ago that Votto was probably, I would say, the preeminent first base.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Been at his position. In fact, in the Tout Wars League and format, he was the highest player auctioned for 3 years in a row, because of always leading the league on base percentage. That may be changing for Votto, or so he says. Find out why next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock here until 2 o'clock Eastern. Thanks for tuning into the show. Well, it was once upon a time Joey Votto was the first baseman taken in fantasy baseball drafts and the most expensive player taken in every fantasy baseball draft. Why? Because Votto was a guy that was more selective than anyone else. So if your league that you played in had on-base percentage as a category, you literally would look at the list, see Joey Votto ahead of everybody else. No one else is trying to do this. Votto is. Give me him. But through the years, as Votto has learned, there's a sacrifice for getting on base a lot, and sometimes that is hitting home runs and driving in runs, or at least that's what happened the last couple of years for Votto, who says it may be now time to change his opinion on that.
I spent a lot of time on that, the Baseball Savant page. And there's a couple of statistics that, like, all the good hitters are a part of. And it's usually barrels and exit velocity, hard hit percentage, but especially barrels. Like, the most fun hitters are usually in that barrels category, barrels percentage, barrels per plate appearance category. Those are the hitters that, like, you see on MLB Network or ESPN's commercials, or, like, you see, you know, doing some like really cool like bat flip on Twitter or something that you forward to your buddies or forward to, you know, fans in that particular city. And, you know, those are the players that are the most fun. And I kind of miss being in that group. I mean, I've led the league in slugging percentage and I was top 2, 3, 4, 5 almost every year of my career in batting average also. And I just got so dead set on commanding the strike zone, assuming that I was going to help the team that way. So I led the league in extra base hits when I was 18 years old as a newbie from Canada. You know, I have to remind myself that at the core, you know, that's who I am. And I tried to make myself into the perfect hitter. And I've had some success with that. Certainly not perfect, but copy my idols. And, you know, I'm probably best suited to include some more air and get back to my natural approach.
Can you?
And I did last year. I did last year, which is really all that, that gave me confidence last year and certainly this offseason. Now I'm as excited as I've been maybe in my major league career to start a major league season. So
can you lead the league?
Well, Davis, some strong stuff from Joey Votto, who is one of the most thoughtful players around in baseball. But let's play the devil's advocate here. When you're getting up in age and you're coming toward the end, I think you have to do all those things to make adjustments to see if you can be that guy. Are you betting on that? Are you betting on a remix of Joey Votto from 2009, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, like, oh, I mean, maybe even a Hall of Famer too. We don't get a lot of production out of first base like we used to, Davis. So you're going to throw that dart at Votto this year?
I mean, he is like free in drafts. Like, you can get him incredibly late. You can take him as your corner infield option very late in your drafts. And it is always, I love when professional athletes talk about the thing that we look at. You know, they get on Fangraphs, they get on Baseball Savant, they look at exit velocity, they look at launch angle and spin rate. I think all of that stuff is very cool. I think what I would worry about with Votto is I don't know if he has the hand-eye coordination and the bat speed to both hit 250 and improve his launch angle. I think you have to do one or the other. And if you have Joey Votto, who is hitting, you know, 220, but then ends the season with 22 home runs, like, that's probably more of a harmful hitter than helpful, especially because we don't think he's going to, you know, drive in an insane amount of runs or score a ton of runs himself. You know, he has not had 100 RBIs since 2017, did not add any steals last year, probably not going to add any steals this year at what I think he's 37 years old. You know, it's just, it's hard for someone, and as great as Votto has been and is a surefire Hall of Famer, you know, it is hard to keep up that excellence for as long as he has been excellent. So at cost, it's fine, but I am not going into my drafts going, you know who I'm going to lock down at first base? Joey Votto.
Yeah, it's just more interesting to hear, as you said, people talk about a specific approach. And with Votto, if you look at his numbers, 2017, Votto was arguably the best fantasy hitter on the planet because of that on-base percentage. And look at that OPS. It was incredible. But his numbers in 2017, oh my gosh, are the same as 2018, 19, and 20 combined. Woof. So I think there was a point even last year, Davis, where they sat Votto for a few games for the first time ever just to kind of give him some time off. He called it a benching, I believe, in the interview. But it's definitely very interesting for me to see where Votto may end up heading out. But along the lines there, if you thought that was an interesting conversation, well, you may want to stay tuned to this one too, because a couple of years ago, the hottest pitching prospect maybe in the National League was Chris Paddock of the San Diego Padres. And man, did he deliver in 2019. Looked like a potential ace in fantasy. But a lot went wrong for him in 2020. And the Padres kind of doubled down on that. In fact, they got Yu Darvish. They got Blake Snell. Where does that leave Chris Paddock? For one, Paddock said he had to go back to the drawing board and do something that he never thought that he would have to.
I can tell you one thing, I'm hungry. You know, I'm excited to get back out there. We have such a special group. And, you know, having you and having Snell and Musgrove and those guys, you know, to look up to and to learn from those guys, I'm really excited. But, you know, overall, a couple things I worked on was just getting my fastball back. Never been like a big analytical guy or breaking down that stuff, but I know that, you know, the way the game has developed, you know, I took a step back and started learning a couple things about, you know, the Rapsodo and the TrackMan side of things. So, you know, I can glance at that during the season and make sure that, you know, we're still where we want to be. You know, but I think, like I said, it just was clear in my head, I think, was a big part, and it's going to be a big part of the success for this upcoming season is just being able to clear the head, but also, you know, get back to being myself mentally. Fastball, like I said, was a big problem for me last season. You know, I had more horizontal break than I've ever had. So being able to take a step back and throw in a couple more bullpens this offseason than I have in the previous years to really dial that in and get ready for spring.
Well, Davis, to hear TrackMan and Rapsodo tells you that that's something that a lot of pitchers should be focusing on, and I understand that it's not for everyone, but as we look at Chris Paddock's numbers from 2020, hide your eyes, because he went down in Ks per nine, went up in whip, and his ERA was a run and a half higher. His ADP is still 110. That's relatively high. That means, Davis, in fantasy, still probably in a 12-team league, an SP3, maybe even an SP2, depending on how much pitching you draft early. You know, still a lot of other pitchers that are going to be taken ahead of him, but 2 years ago, he looked like an ace, and last year didn't look the part. I wonder if he's somewhere in the middle this year.
Well, the reason that his ADP is that high is because I'm sitting there still buying him. Paddock is just, he's just one of those guys. You got to love him. I love his pitch mix. I love the velocity. I love his K rate from his 2019 season. I love the defense that he has behind him. I love the ballpark that he pitches in. I love some of those weak teams in his division that he gets to pitch against. I mean, everything that I tend to look to buy at in pitchers is there. And some of the projection systems are definitely painting him as closer to the 2019 pitcher than the 2020 pitcher. And just the fact that he knows that he has to work on adding some movement to some of these pitches, I think that's a huge deal, because hitting dead straight fastballs. I mean, you and I could make contact with a Chris Paddock fastball from last year if our lives depended on it. But for Major League Baseball hitters, those are the kind of pitches that you can kind of tag up. So if he's able to add some movement to a four-seamer, if he's able to work on some of that off-speed stuff, given the natural velocity that he's able to generate, I think that the ceiling for Chris Paddock is, I mean, I think he can win an NL Cy Young. I mean, that is the kind of stuff and velocity that he has. So I am in here still buying on Chris Paddock this year for sure.
All right, fair enough. Let's look at some of the pitchers who are being taken in the NFBC right around his area. Lizardo is at 102. For what reason, I'm not really sure. A lot of potential, no promise yet. Greinke, I understand, being at 109, you know who he is. Then there's Paddock and then Julio Urias. A lot of people are in on Urias. And I think that by the time draft season is over, Urias is going to be higher than Paddock, Davis, to be honest with you. So Lizardo is somebody that I took last year and was like, ugh, why did I do that? I didn't even pitch that much. But I probably would still – I think I'd go in this order of ADP for me. Except for Lizardo, I'd put him at the back. But I'd go Greinke, Paddock, Urias, and then Lizardo until he shows me something.
So why do you not like Lizardo? Because, like, for me, Lizardo is the kind of guy that I like to buy, you know, 70 grades on some of his off-speed stuff, a future value grade of 60 from the scouts on Fangraphs, you know, throws in the upper 90s. So I just think that combination of fastball slider, if he works on some of his control stuff, I mean, just that combination, fastball slider from a guy like Lizardo, that can wipe out major league batters for the next 5 years. So I'm still in on Lizardo.
Okay. Yeah. I just don't see innings this year for him. I mean, I don't know what innings will be in 2 years from now, but he is like a perfect example of a guy that if he said 120 innings, I don't even know that he would get to that point. And I know that the other three will. So counting numbers, I guess, would be, I think, a reason for that. It also depends on the format. All right, Fantasy Reality is coming up next, so make sure you stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We got Fantasy or Reality coming up. Real quick, the Deion Sanders story wasn't the only odd football story, Davis, from the weekend. At his own camp, Cam Newton had a some sort of kids camp out there, and one of the kids was like really like harassing Cam Newton at his own camp, calling him a free agent, and then Cam Newton barking back saying that he was rich. A weird scene going on there, and it just goes to show you that probably the only reason why that happened is the kid wanted to see himself go viral in some way and have people like us talk about it, and here we are.
Yeah, I mean, just very bizarre to me that Cam Newton, and this is not just restricted to this interaction. I mean, Cam Newton gets no respect, man. This, we're talking about a guy who won multiple championships in college, MVP, made the Super Bowl with what I thought was a pretty weak Carolina Panthers roster. I mean, I don't really understand the lack of respect for Cam Newton. He's always been one of my favorite guys. And it always just bums me out to see people dunking on Cam on Twitter, because he had a bad year with the Patriots, whatever. Like, he was hurt, he got a concussion, he got the coronavirus. Like, let the man live his life.
Yeah, at his own camp, like I could see this happening just in public, but it's like you show up to the camp as a kid. The only thing I could think of is it makes a good video for Instagram or TikTok or something like that, because beyond that, the whole thing makes no sense. But we didn't do that today here on the show as far as posting the video, because we got a lot of other things that we covered here on the show today. So let's get to it. Let's continue the conversation. First, I would say significant opt-out, although from a fantasy perspective, he really hasn't been relevant for a number of years. Ian Desmond from the Colorado Rockies has decided that he has opted out of the 2021 season after opting out of the 2020 season. Now, he did leave a little door open, saying the possibility is that he could come back and play, and he is forfeiting Davis quite a bit of money. I believe this is like $15 million over the course of 2 years. The team has an option on him next year. They'll decline that and just buy him out. Maybe he'll be back in 2022. Let's ask you the question to begin. Fantasy or reality, Ian Desmond will play baseball in 2021.
I think you got to say fantasy, because if you're opting out of that amount of money and you're comfortable opting out with it, I don't know what they could do to incentivize him to bring him back. Don't think he's going to be missing out on, you know, a World Series championship with this Colorado Rockies team. And his playing time probably was going to get slashed in half because of the signing of CJ Cron. They wanted, if you want a guy to strike out playing first base, at least you do it with CJ Cron, who is going to hit way more home runs than Ian Desmond, who saw his launch angle and his line drive rate just absolutely crater his final year with the Rockies. And, you know, for fantasy baseball purposes, I have to say, you know, pretty good. This is what we wanted. We wanted the Rockies to play the kids. Right. We wanted the Rockies to play CJ Cron. So I have to say, reality, we don't see him. And I personally am glad that we are not going to be seeing Ian Desmond this year.
Yeah, look, you can never speak to what's going on with a player. And I'm guessing there's something else happening here, physically, something with his family that he hasn't disclosed. I don't know. And it's not fair to even guess that. But when you're giving up this amount of money, because literally, I mean, Davis, you're right. Desmond would probably not be a full-time player, but just play enough to really just get us angry. And Desmond probably knows that and could have cashed some really big coin the last 2 years simply to do that, and is choosing not to. The other part of this, too, is that you get to, let's say we get out of this corona stuff, let's say in May or June, fans are back, things look normal again. Rockies won't be good. Will they even want him back? Like, you want to play young players. I'm with you. I don't think we see him again. I do think we'll see him in 2022. He'll have to probably take what's called a non-roster invitation to some spring training after not playing for 2+ years. That's probably the way it's going to have to be, similar to the Puig who we talked about before. So I say fantasy. I say he does not play in 2021. And unfortunately, in the NBA, you don't have these sign and trade type deals with the contracts. They're going to have to think of something else to do here with Ian Desmond, because he's not getting paid. All right, let's move on to college basketball, arguably one of the best games, maybe the best game of the month, we'll say. Michigan played at Ohio State on Sunday. 3-4 is a great game. Michigan now 16-1 on the season. Juwan Howard's done a fantastic job. And they look like they got a really good shot, I would say, to get into the Final Four. Still a long way from that. Who knows what this NCAA tournament is going to be? You talk about variance, Davis, fans, March Madness, underdogs, the one losing to the 16 a few years ago with Virginia. I don't know what to expect. Fantasy reality, Michigan will be in the Final Four.
I will go ahead and say reality, just because generally speaking, the best team in the Big Ten tends to be a team that does really well in the tournament, you know, kind of regardless of which team it is on any specific year. You know, obviously we've seen great teams from Illinois, we've seen great Ohio State teams, and if you are able to weather that gauntlet, you know, that very specific style of Big Ten basketball, generally speaking, you are set up to do very well in the tournament. I will admit, though, not a college basketball expert, not an area where I'm going to be putting a ton of my own U.S. dollars into. You know, these markets, they're not speculative enough for me, not speculative enough in college basketball. Need to take on more risk than gambling on college basketball.
Well, look, we did not have the tournament last year, so we're going into really uncharted ground here with all the teams playing in Indiana and in Indianapolis. We don't know how the fans' perspective changes things. We don't know, how COVID could certainly change things. So I got to tell you, this is something that I would say fantasy. I would bet against it. Just give me the variance of a weird tournament, an unknown tournament, and the potential of a player being out at some point, and I could see an upset. In fact, other than Gonzaga, they're probably the only team that I would, if you ask me the same question, I would say reality to. I would say fantasy for the rest. I'd bet against normalcy. I'd bet on chaos this time of the year and coming up next month in the tournament. So even though Michigan's had a great year, this was maybe the biggest win of any team in college basketball, honestly, this season. I'm still going to say fantasy for Michigan. I say they get bounced before they get to the Final Four. But I'd be guessing. It's not something I feel that strongly about. All right, Deion Sanders picks up his first college football win on Sunday. It was a very close game, Davis, 53-0. They had him right where they wanted him, the other team, the whole entire game. But Deion, moving away from NFL Network and moving on to the college coaching, he did not have any experience, so he has to start somewhere. So he's starting with an FCS school, and they're playing their season out with Jackson State. Fantasy reality, eventually, Deion Sanders will be the head coach at a Power 5 school. Fantasy or reality?
I'm going to say a reality, because this is just kind of the nature of college football, that outside of, you know, the Big Ten schools, like let's say, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Notre Dame, there are lots of jobs to be found out there. And a lot of those jobs go to former players. And as we will see with Deion Sanders, you're going to get a lot of eyes on your school when Deion Sanders is your head coach. He's going to be on ESPN. He's going to be on all the talk shows. People just love Deion Sanders. He's a very entertaining guy. And that brings in booster money. That brings in recruits. So even if Sanders is not a great tactician, which my guess would be he's probably not a very good tactician and, you know, great play caller or anything like that, but I do think it just sets up to be one of those spots that, like, Middle Tennessee State University hired Deion Sanders to be your head coach, and then after that, Rutgers hired Deion Sanders to be their head coach. Like, it's just that very natural progression of guys who used to play. I'm with that one for sure.
Yeah, I think this is fantasy for me, but I do have an asterisk, because first of all, it's a really good question because of all of the things that you just mentioned. And maybe most of all is the fact that when we can walk into other people's houses, Deion Sanders is going to walk into a recruit's house and is going to be a pretty compelling figure to sign with that school. And so I think that would help. But I'm not sure on a day-to-day basis that Deion is going to get that opportunity to run a Bama or run a Georgia or Vanderbilt or Michigan or Ohio State. But I will say this, Florida State has got to be the one exception to the rule here because he played there. I mean, that has got to be the scenario that come 4 or 5 years down the line, if FSU is struggling, that they could just put a couple of coaches with him and he would be at his alma mater. Again, FSU to me, Davis, would have to be at ground zero. Like, they're just still awful, like they've been the last few years. Norville's not coaching well. But I think Deion is going to have to probably coach at, a step up from Jackson State. But I don't think he gets that shot at the Power 5. And then, again, here's what I'm betting against. Deion's got to do a really good job at that next spot, because whatever he does here is fun for us to discuss. I don't think that that's going to mean a lot for some people. So his next spot's going to have to be crucial. And if he doesn't do well there, I don't know that he gets the shot. So I'll say fantasy with the asterisk, unless it is Florida State University. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. I mean, obviously he has the biggest connections there, and he is a big personality, probably a little bit of a headache to deal with from an administrative perspective. So there probably is a lower chance that, you know, Kentucky wants to hire him and then deal with all of the associated headaches that would come from dealing with the very big personality that is Deion Sanders. But I do think we see so many former players just have such an easier path to a head coaching job than it's, especially famous former players. Like, there just is a big benefit to both sides for participating in that.
So let's double down on this question. Do you think that there's any chance that he go? Let's say hypothetically Jackson State goes out, wins the championship this year. Let's just throw it out there, right? And he's one and done at Jackson State. It's possible. Do you think that he goes to a Power Five straight from Jackson State, or do you think he goes somewhere else first?
No, I think he probably goes to not UCF exactly, but a school like that, right?
Marshall,
like a Boise State, right? Marshall, yeah. Boise State, a competitive program, non-Power Five. He'll be able to, you know, get some graduate transfers and things like that. And that to me would be the more likely path, I think.
Yeah, Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech, you know. So yeah. I think he'd have to do well there. Like he would have to have success there in order to get that next shot. But Lane Kiffin has shown that it doesn't matter where you go, someone will always continue to take a shot on you. And he is right now again at Mississippi after just a couple of years at FAU, Florida Atlantic University. Maybe that's a spot for Deion Sanders. FAU or FIU, one of those schools, Florida International, maybe even South Florida too. So definitely some good spots for prime time, Deion Sanders, no doubt. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to knock out our Sports Grid 60. This is an opinion that we have every day at the end of the show. And as we leave you here, also just a quick reminder that coming up a little bit later, Scott Farrell is going coast to coast. He's got you covered all the way up to some game time decisions. And then, of course, In-Game Live is our live show every day here on Sports Grid, where we take you inside the game from a sports betting perspective, tell you who is covering, who is not, give you some odds, tips, and potentially help you make some money every single day as you watch us here on Sports Grid. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid. Our YouTube channel has all of our videos posted. Each and every day you can watch us on demand if you can't catch the show live on one of our apps where you watch us here. So we'll be back with the Sports Grid 60 in just 2 minutes as we wrap up our Monday edition of the show. And we'll be back here tomorrow talking sports cards with Josh Cohen from PC Sports Cards. Stay on the grid. Davis and I will be right back after this.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today with you here on Sports Grid, Craig Mish and Davis Maddock. We got you here every day, noon to 2 Eastern. Tomorrow on our show, we'll be back and giving you the win total, our opinion on the Arizona Diamondbacks. So those of you who are interested in that total, make sure you join us tomorrow. But for now, let me turn it over to Davis as he's got his edition of the Sports Grid 60 on this Monday. Davis, what's on your mind?
Well, the only thing that's on my mind, if we're going to keep it real, the only thing on my mind is Top Shots. It's been a whirlwind of activity over the course of the weekend. Over the last 24 hours, there's been $41 million of volume traded on Top Shots, which is a number that absolutely is breaking my brain. I can't hardly comprehend it. So my Sports Grid 60 for today is, if you don't know what Top Shots is, if that's confusing, if you don't understand, just do a little bit of Googling. There's been some great articles, a good ESPN Daily podcast on it, and I would encourage you to check it out.
Yeah, the NFT business right now is out of control, and this is the one regret that I have, is not getting in on Top Shots. All in on sports cards, doing great there. Steve Nash cards selling for over $1,000, paying $2 for, don't understand it, but enjoying it for sure. Speaking of money, today was a big day for Fernando Tatis Jr. We'll hear from him tomorrow. He signed his contract extension. Francisco Lindor said he was very happy for him. Carlos Correa of the Houston Astros told reporters today that he needs a long-term deal with the Astros before the start of the season, or he heads to free agency. And I got to tell you, not all that surprised. The shortstop position, both in fantasy and reality, coming into an offseason next year is astronomical, not to use the pun, but Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor, and maybe moving on from Trevor Story, Xander Bogaerts. If you need a shortstop in reality, you're going to have a good opportunity at the end of the season to get one for sure. All right, that'll do it for our program today. Thanks for Ty for filling in. Of course, for James over at LTN, doing a great job there. Brett, Danny, and Ryan on our graphics, no doubt. Thanks to EJ, by the way, for chipping in and help us with our baseball graphics every day. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that too. Also, for my co-host, Davis Matic, I am Craig Bish. Wish you a great day right here on the grid. We'll be back here tomorrow at noon. Have a good one, everybody. See ya.
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.